Greetings to the Path family. Our slogan at the Path is meeting you where you are. We invite you to follow, share, and check us out on social media. You may connect with us at any time, anywhere, on Facebook at The Path Church or Instagram and Twitter at Join the Path. Without further delay, enjoy this week's sermon.
You know, this past week was challenging. Oh, man. I got a text and I couldn't believe the text I saw. So I checked the news and Chadwick Boseman had passed on. That one hit me. I mean, that one hit me hard. I didn't know him personally, but I can honestly say I respected his craft. Of all his work, I must confess, Black Panther was my favorite. I've always loved comics. And there's something in me that loves the adventure and the idea and the fantasy of what could be. You know, sitting in the theater watching that movie with a group of brothers and sisters and my wife and daughter, it was like, wow, look at this place, this mythical, beautiful place where the people were living in harmony. And then you had a benevolent and wise king. And it looked like it was incredible. It's like, God, can I go and be there? Wow, I wish this mythical place existed. But you know, for those of us who are disciples of Jesus Christ, we are citizens of something that's not mythical. We're citizens of the kingdom of God. And we have a wise and benevolent king. And at some point in time, we will all live in harmony. You know, maybe that's why we're going through the season that we're going through now. Just maybe God is trying to help our hearts to not long so much for this world, but to think about what is to come. We live in one of the most amazing countries that's ever existed in the history of humanity. We have our problems because this is not heaven. And for those of us who are Christians, we are citizens of God's kingdom. And, you know, interesting, Jesus taught about the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of light. In fact, he spoke about the kingdom of God more than 80 times in Matthew, in Mark, and in John. And today I want to spend a little time talking about being citizens of the kingdom. You know, we've been studying the book of Matthew, and I want to thank my class for your participation, for the conversation and just wrestling through the scriptures. And I also want to take this opportunity to thank Dr. Jackson for being a great partner in teaching this course and also helping me. You know, every Wednesday about 6 o'clock, we start calling and texting and trying to make sure everything is set up. And I just appreciate the way that it has been so engaging. Well, this past Wednesday, we we're in Matthew chapter 13, and we spent time talking about that mystery of the kingdom. And Jesus talked so much about the kingdom, and he used parables. And we understand parables to be an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. And also, a parable was a way that a teacher taught where he would use an example to flesh out his message. You know, Jesus would say there was a farmer, and the people would, he would point, and the people would look and like, oh, there was a farmer. And then Jesus would continue on with the message. Or you say, people were fishing, and he would point to the fishermen, and everybody would look over there, and Jesus would continue the story. Because sometimes when we can see it, we understand it much better. Well, in Matthew chapter 13 starts with the parable of the sower, but we're going to jump down to about verse 18, where Jesus' disciples say, Lord, what did the parable mean? Because they were not sure, and they wanted to make sure. And, you know, that's a good lesson right there. If we don't know what something means in the Bible, let's be humble and ask. Let's allow someone to give us help so we can really understand what the words of Jesus mean. First, we pray to God, but then we find brothers and sisters who can help us in our spiritual growth as we keep studying the word of God. In verse 18, listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and takes away what was sown in their heart. That is the seed that fell among the path. The seeds falling on the rocky ground refers to someone who is shallow in their faith. You know, they have no root. They only last a short time. When troubles or persecution come, they quickly fall away. That third soil, it says that is the person that when they get choked out by the deceitfulness of wealth, the worries of this life, and they are not fruitful. But that fourth seed, that seed that fell on good soil, refers to the person who hears the word and understands it. In fact, that person embraces it. And then that one produces a crop yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. You know, only one of those categories pleased Jesus. And that was the last soil. Where are you today in your relationship with God? For those of us claiming to be Christians, citizens of the kingdom, where are we today? Are we that second soil? Because some of you have been baptized this year. How you doing? Are we that third soil? Some of us are so consumed with the worries of this world, the stress and the deceitfulness of wealth, we are choked. We're choking. Are we that fourth soil? Well, we're producing a crop that Jesus invested in us, and the return on his investment is amazing. See, that's what we're talking about here. Not being a church goer, not being a person who just shows up and enjoys the fellowship. See, none of that exists right now. So that means God may be weeding out his church to figure out who are really the disciples. And that goes to my second one, the parable of the weeds. You know, Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, the enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed heads, then the weeds also appeared. The owner's servants came to him and said, "Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where then did these weeds come from?" "An enemy did this," he replied. The servant asked, "Do you want us to go and pull it up?" "No," he answered, "because while you are pulling the weeds, you may uproot wheat with them. Let both them grow together until the harvest. At that time, I will tell the harvesters, 'First, collect the weeds, tie them in bundles to be burned. Then gather the wheat and bring it into the barn.'" Okay, so this is another parable talking about a farmer, because those were first century people who lived off the land. They could understand. And Jesus said a man sowed this wheat and it was growing. But while he was asleep, the enemy came in and sowed weeds. Now, what's convicting about this, there is a form of weed that looks almost like wheat, and it grows with the wheat. Except it is dangerous. It's poisonous. What Jesus was saying, there are people who come to church, who sit in fellowship, who go to small group, but they're only there for one purpose. They're agents of Satan. Whoa, bro, that's kind of strong. It is. But that's what Jesus was talking about. Jesus said, listen, the devil's angry, and he's going to put false disciples, false believers in amongst the crowd. What are we going to do about it? This is my encouragement. Make sure you're here for the right reason. Wherever you are in your walk with God, in this season, where we are today, you got to work it out with God. You got to be pure. You got to be righteous at home. You got to be righteous. You're working from home. You got to get the work done. You are a citizen of the kingdom. You represent Jesus. I represent Jesus. It's not easy. It's not fun. But we didn't sign up to have fun and easy. We signed up to be disciples of Jesus Christ. And, you know, right now in the Western world, we're probably starting to understand just a little bit of what our early brothers and sisters had to go through. The difficulties of life. You know, another parable he put forth, he said, the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in this ground, which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is greater than the herbs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and nest in its branches. The kingdom of heaven, it's like a mustard seed. And, you know, it starts out small, but then it grows into a tree, which is really a large bush. And the birds come and nest in its branches. You know, for years, whenever I read that, I was thinking, wow, God's kingdom is going to infiltrate the world, and it's going to be big, and it's going to be magnificent, and it's going to overshadow so much of what the world has to offer. But in our deeper dive into the book of Matthew, I learned this is not a positive explanation or description of the kingdom. See, this was an abnormally born bush that did not belong in the garden. It didn't belong there. And, you know, Jesus was saying, as he was talking to his followers at that time, the day is coming. The day is coming. I'm letting you know now, the church that I started will become more abnormal. It's going to be really big. But that's not what my intentions were. And if you know anything about history and you go back and you study out the church, after the first century church began and it started growing and more people were becoming disciples, there was a king by the name of Emperor Constantine who converted to Christianity. Was he a true disciple? I don't know. I wasn't there. But when in 380 AD, Emperor Theodosius I declared Christianity the official religion of the Roman Empire. So everyone had to be a Christian, whether they wanted to or not. If you were going to conduct business in the Roman Empire, you had to be a citizen who was also a Christian. That's not what Jesus started. That has nothing to do with discipleship. Because people were joining in and people were being a part of something that they had no conviction about. You know, unfortunately, Rome, known as the eternal city, the eternal empire, eventually became a theocracy, meaning the church ruled the people. And, you know, unfortunately, there's some elements of that in the United States today, because there are people who will hold the Bible in one hand and the American flag in another hand and say, we are a Christian nation. We may be people who have in God we trust on our money and in some of our mantras that we say, but biblically, there's no Christian nation. It says our citizenship is not of this world. See, God's kingdom is not just what we see. It is also what we do not see. There are people over in Africa, in China, in India. They are in the kingdom of God. Anyone who's a true believer, they're in the kingdom of God. God's kingdom has the cherubim, has the angels, has the heavenly host. It has those who have gone on ahead of us. And Jesus rules the kingdom. And God himself is there. See, right now, it's invisible. We can't see it. And what we got to be careful of, that we got to be careful not to make America the kingdom of God. We are Americans who get to be a part of God's eternal kingdom. Citizenships have a citizenship in his kingdom, but they're not synonymous. And the reason I want us to understand that is we're going through a very difficult time as Americans. We're divided. We're angry. We're frustrated. We're in this pandemic. Every day there's something else that happens. And I don't know about you, but I'm exasperated. I'm tired. I'm worn out. It's like, can we just have a break? Some good news. And you know, for those of us who are Christians, we got good news. The kingdom is here. That we get to wake up every day and realize we have a hope. That what we see is not all we have to live through. And let me tell you this. Let me just tell my brothers and sisters this. And if you're just visiting, listening, just hang on for 1 second. On November 4th, or the day after the election, there is no human being alive on this planet who can create a utopia. There's no human being alive on this planet who can derail the plan of God. So what do we do as believers, as Christians? We pray. And we get back focused on the reason why we are here. I have no problem with brothers and sisters being involved in a democratic process. It's written in our Constitution. You can go, you can vote, you can be as involved as you would like to be. But I want to help us understand this, and this is to my brothers and sisters I see on Facebook and Instagram. Do people know more about your commitment to Jesus or your commitment to your political party? We got to be careful. And we got to get focused. The world is lost. That's the world. Yeah, we're citizens here. We're going to do our duty. But really, what is it we're wanting man to do? Man is sinful. And yes, it's injustice. And yes, people are being taken advantage of. But what should a Christian do? Let me share with you. This is my recommendation to Christians. First of all, number one, God is in control. Number two, justice will be done. I would love for justice to be done in my lifetime, but it will be done. Why? Because God is like this. When God gives a mandate, he expects people to follow. And I believe some of the greatest challenges we have in America today, just one black man's opinion, is there are too many people who are supposed to be Christians are not holding up the standard and walking in discipleship. Too busy caught up in the world. You know, that's that third seed, that third soil, choked, deceitfulness of wealth, caught up in the world. We don't need to get caught up in the world. We use the resources of the world to preach the gospel, but we're not living just to follow behind individuals, expecting them to lead us into a utopian community. In Jeremiah chapter 22, reading out of NLT, God's people got off track. God had a theocracy. They were a nation governed by his word. That was a true theocracy, the Israelites. And this is what God had to say to them. Go over and speak directly to the king of Judah. Say to him, listen to this message from the Lord, you king of Judah, sitting on David's throne. Let your attendants, your people, listen to you. This is what the Lord says. Be fair-minded and just. Do what is right. Help those who have been robbed. Rescue them from their oppressors. Quit your evil deeds. Do not mistreat foreigners, orphans, and widows. Stop murdering the innocent. If you obey me, there will be there will always be a descendant of David sitting on the throne here in Jerusalem. The king will ride through the palace gates in chariots and on horses with his parade of attendants and subjects. But if you refuse to pay attention to this warning, I swear by my own name, says the Lord, that this palace will become a pile of rubble. You go back and you start looking through the old covenant. There were so many times God disciplined his people. He disciplined them. You know, I was having a good conversation with Dr. Jackson. And Brother Jackson was telling me that, you know, right now here in our country, America, of all the first world nations handling the pandemic, we're doing the worst. Most first world nations, Western countries have moved on. They're through the pandemic. Here we are and people are still dying. I believe God's hand may be against this country. I believe God may be trying to get our attention. And as citizens of the kingdom, we need to be humble and we need to keep preaching the word. Yes, there's injustice. Yes, there are things that hurt. But we got to get focused on what God has called us to do. You know, another parable, the parable of hidden treasure and the pearl, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then his joy went and sold all that he had and bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. You know, for years, I would teach people, okay, look, we're going to read about the kingdom. And guess what? This man found a treasure and he hid it back in the field. And then he sold everything he had and went back and bought that treasure. Guess what? You stumbled on something amazing. You stumbled on the kingdom of God. What are you willing to give up to be a part of it? But doing deeper study in the various commentaries, we're not the man. Jesus is the man. And Jesus is looking for his treasure. And we are the treasure. And Jesus gave up everything. In a few minutes, we're getting ready to take communion. What does communion represent? Jesus gave up everything to redeem us. That's what communion is all about. Jesus said, "You are my treasure. You are my pearl. And I want you in my kingdom." You know, even in the midst of chaos, craziness, we got to stay in fellowship, especially with friends. We got to stay in fellowship because you never know how God is working in someone else's life to inspire you. You know, last week, Angel showed a baptism and how we see Tanisha's brother had become a Christian, and Jared and Jace were instrumental in studying the Bible with him along with the brothers in Thomasville. It is refreshing. So this past week, good friend of mine, Nick Stone Street, y'all know Nick and Rhonda Stone Street. They were with us at one point in time. Nick called me up. We were just talking, shooting the breeze. He called to see how I was doing, you know, with all this racial tension that's going on. And we talked about that. And he said, "Oh, I want to share some good news with you." I said, "What is it, Nick?" He said, "Well, you know, we went on a business trip last year and we met this lady. And Rhonda sent her scriptures and about 12 pages of the importance of baptism. And I'm going to forward you how she responded." Nick and Rhonda, thank you for your mentorship and leadership in encouraging my family and me to make the commitment to being baptized. It all started with the visit after service when we were together in Richland, and then Rhonda sent the fantastic Bible study. The boys and I have used Rhonda's study as a guide. We have used it for the last year, all leading to this moment of redemption, forgiveness, and obedience this weekend." Look at that picture. I think about 10 people were baptized. That's biblical. That's what happened. That's what happened in the Bible. About 10 people. This woman's family, she and her family came to faith and they were all baptized. That's what it's about. That's what it's about. The kingdom, people hearing the good news. We got to get the word out there because you never know who's searching. This woman said for a whole year, Rhonda sowed those seeds and it fell on fertile ground. Let us not become weary in doing good. It's tough. It's hard. It's disheartening. It's discouraging. We use all the dis words. We get it. But we are disciples. We got to keep going. And that's why we take communion. If you don't understand what communion is, let me explain to you briefly. Communion is the time when Christians stop what we are doing and remember Jesus. Communion is the time where we thank God for the opportunity to honor his son for the death, his burial, and the resurrection. So we take that bread, that unleavened bread that represents his body that was broken. We drink the fruit of the vine that represents the blood that was shed. And we pray and thank God for Jesus. At this moment, let us prepare our hearts for communion. Let us pray. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, that we are citizens of your kingdom. Thank you, God, that America is not all we have to look forward to. That, yes, we want things to change. Yes, we want people to be treated fairly and equitably, Lord. But we know that as Christians, as believers, as disciples, the most important thing is people's eternal destiny. We want to take this time and say thank you for allowing your son to come and teach us about your kingdom. And then, God, for you allowing us to be a part of your kingdom and calling us treasures and pearls. Thank you so much, God. We don't deserve it. I don't deserve it. I fall short. But right now, my heart is filled with gratitude. And I pray, God, wherever we are in our walk with you, that our hearts will be filled with gratitude. Bless this time. We ask these prayers in your son's name. Amen. I want to take this time to encourage my brothers and sisters. Let's get focused. Let's remember that we're citizens of the kingdom. If you are not sure where you are in your relationship with God, please reach out to us. We would love to study the Bible with you. We have classes going on throughout the week. Join those classes. You can go to our website and get all the information. But we are looking for men and women who want a citizenship in heaven. And I hope and pray that's who you are. Again, we want to thank you so much for being a part of our worship service. We want to thank you so much for your encouragement, your support. And we ask you to please pray. The closer we get to election time, I'm asking all Christians to pray that God's will be done.
Thanks for listening to this week's sermon. New sermons are uploaded each Monday morning. Simply search The Path Church Atlanta in iTunes, Spotify, or your favorite podcasting service. Additionally, we greatly appreciate your feedback on iTunes. If you would like to learn more about The Path, we encourage you to visit www.thepath.church. We hope to fellowship with you soon.